You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Professor Robert Pugsley, who teaches at the Southwestern University School of Law in Los Angeles. We want to get his thoughts in relation to Monday's Supreme Court decision by a 5-4 slim majority that a former Bush administration official, such as ex-Attorney General John Ashcroft and current FBI Director Bob Mueller, cannot be sued for actions taken in their public roles. And Professor, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
What do you make of this decision?
Well, it's a complicated one, but on the face of it, basically it stops this particular lawsuit in its tracks, which had been given the green light by the normally conservative Second Circuit Court of U.S. Appeals in New York City. Basically, the majority is saying that the defendants did not allege or offer sufficient proof on the fact that it was a purposeful discriminatory policy directed against Iqbal and others based on their race and nationality. And that's basically what the majority said they had to come up with in order for the suit to proceed, even at this early stage during discovery. The dissent, on the other hand, says they had proved enough and that in conjunction with a government concession, and the prosecutor's concession, that Ashcroft and Mueller would be liable were Mr. Iqbal able to prove they actually knew of unconstitutional discrimination by their subordinates and were deliberately indifferent to it. That would be enough to let the suit go forward. So we're focusing first on the state of mind of the two former governmental officials who were named in the suit. Do they know of what was being done in their name by their subordinates, and were they indifferent to it? That's what the dissent said is sufficient to go forward. The majority said it had to be purposeful on their part. They had to have knowledge and an intent, specific intent, to have these abuses perpetrated on the plaintiffs.
Which may be the burden of proof they weren't able to get because according to Justice Kennedy, who wrote the majority opinion here and was joined by the four more conservative justices, said, on the facts, the arrests that Mueller, the FBI director, oversaw were likely lawful and justified by his non-discriminatory intent to detain aliens who were illegally present in the United States and had potential connections to those who committed terrorist acts, unquote. In terms of what we knew about those who had perpetrated the attacks of 9/11 and some of the obvious characteristics that linked them, how much harder does that make it for Mr. Iqbal and some of these others to claim that there was a malicious intent to discriminate based on ethnicity or what have you?
Well, it certainly satisfied the majority today that it was not up to snuff in terms of persuading them and to allow the suit to go forward. But they acknowledge at the end of their opinion, at the end of Justice Kennedy's opinion, that they may be able to go after subordinates or even after Mr. Ashcroft and Mueller again, depending on how many additional facts they add on. They have to be able to show that these were the architects of a discriminatory policy, which their subordinates were merely carrying out. And from what we know about the allegations that of the hardship suffered by Mr. Iqbal and his fellow detainees in that maximum security facility in Brooklyn, New York, it was pretty brutal. He spent over close to 6 months in solitary confinement. And there was even a 2003 Justice Department report finding, quote, significant problems, end quote, with the treatment of the post-September 11th detainees at that Brooklyn facility. So the lawyers have to go back, basically, and add on additional facts and more proof linking the two highest officials and their various subordinates to an intentional or purposeful policy. It probably will be much easier to link the subordinates, of whom they also sued about 30 in this particular instance, than it would be, because they were closer to the ground and nearer to the alleged abuse than were Ashcroft and Mueller.
Bob, take us inside the constitutional aspect of taking the government to court, essentially. Isn't it basically true that the government only lets you sue it or charge it with something if it wants to?
Basically, that's right, Greg. They do have suits. Bivens versus six unnamed FBI agents is one, but they said that does not contain a provision for so-called respondeat superior, which means the order or the boss of the operation is liable if his subordinates commit wrongdoings. And basically, they will not allow a suit to go forward on that basis. It has to be predicated on the individual behavior of specific actors. And the court, again, in its majority opinion today, said there was insufficient proof that the top actors, Mueller and Ashcroft, were sufficiently engaged in driving a policy of religious and nationality discrimination against the detainees under the Fifth and First Amendments to the Constitution.
What are the different standards, Bob, in our last 90 seconds here? Obviously, this was about whether or not Mr. Iqbal and others could have sued Ashcroft and Mueller. What about criminal charges between the civil and the criminal here? What's the difference in what's needed to make a case go forward?
Well, to make a case go forward, you in the civil side, you merely need the assertions to be plausible. That was the position of Justice Souter in his dissent. The majority said you would have to demonstrate that they actually knew of the unconstitutional discrimination and were deliberately indifferent to it, and even that it was purposeful. Now, the standard of proof that would go to a trier of fact, either a judge sitting in, as a trier of fact or a jury, in the civil case is by a preponderance of the evidence, and that's a fairly low standard, just more probable than not. In a criminal case, it's beyond a reasonable doubt, and we cloak the criminal defendant with more protection because of the serious consequences that would follow upon a conviction.
And real quickly, is it good, in your opinion, to have a pretty high standard for public officials being sued in order to prevent them from being in court nonstop for someone who just happened to disagree with their decisions based on a political basis or anything else?
Oh, absolutely. We need to protect our officials from just any nutcase who wants to bring a lawsuit. But in this case, again, Justice Souter and the dissenting justices said that he proved far more than that they were a director of some amorphous discrimination. He alleged they helped to create the discriminatory policy which he described, and that was in Justice Souter's dissent. So it's a difference of opinion between the majority and the minority over how much was demonstrated in this particular suit. It does not block further amendment of their pleadings, and they might go again at Ashcroft and Mueller and certainly against 30 other odd subordinates.
And so, as you just pointed out, Bob, this may not be the end of the story. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg.
Professor Robert Pugsley teaches at the Southwestern University School of Law in Los Angeles. This is Dateline Washington.